Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you use promo code DNVR, new customers, you can make any $5 NBA pregame moneyline bet this week. You're going to get $150 in free bets if your team wins. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I am Patrick Lyons.
And I am Susie Hunter. Patrick, if there's three things we can count on in this life, death, taxes, the Mets are going to Met. That's well kind put. Of one of the themes of today's show.
Oh, well put. We've plenty of Mets business to talk about there. Shenanigans. And Stephen A. Cohen, Uncle Steve. I feel like at a certain point, he'll just be Uncle Steve. Like, I don't know that we're going to say, you know, the owner of the Mets, Stephen A. Cohen. I think it'll just be Uncle Steve, Uncle Steve, Uncle Steve, and everyone will just collectively know in the sports world.
Well, I mean, that's what the Mets fans are exclusively calling him. So, yeah, they make sense.
Yep. We have to talk about a little of the Carlos Correa craziness, is get into some more details on Boston's embarrassment going on right now. We touched on it on Monday a few days ago. But let's start with the Rockies, because
this is a Rocky show.
You know what? I never thought of it that way, but in a way, I feel like you're right. In a way, that's really true. No,
the DNVR Rockies podcast is a podcast about the Rockies.
Very true. Very true. Yes. Yeah. We've got some articles going up over on the DNVR.com, kind of about the best of 2022, man. There were a lot of articles that you and I wrote this year highlighting, you know, some of the better stories, some of the better games and outcomes, the prospects. And then just when you're around a team and there's 162 ball games and 162 times you're coming to the ballpark, they're just weird and crazy things that just happen over the course of a year, from Crocs to Crocs. I think there was other things.
I was thinking about the Crocs yesterday. I mean, I actually often think about the Crocs, but driving around in North Carolina, I see a car with a little croc hanging off the what is the thing that you hook a trailer up to?
The hitch.
The hitch. Yeah, there was a little. So people sometimes will have things hanging off of there. Someone had a croc, just like a little tiny toy croc, and it was adorable. I took a picture of it, but I didn't post it anywhere.
You may have to now.
I have to now. Yeah, exactly.
On Thursday. Yes.
On Thursday. This day, today. Thursday. In the year of our Lord, 2022.
December 29th, obviously. We know today's date. The Wynton Bernard story was fantastic. You know, kind of waiting for that to happen. And then it finally did, waiting for some of the young guys to come up, and Michael Tolia, and then eventually Ezekiel Tovar, which, look, we were kind of waiting for that all summer. Even last week when Jeff Dooley was on, talking about how we thought it was going to happen at some point in the summer, but the groin injury obviously kind of postponed that. Unfortunately. And so we did have to wait a while, but he got that home run against Clayton Kershaw. I mean, that was a big moment. That was cool.
His first home run was off of Clayton Kershaw. I still want that on a pillow. I want that cross stitched. I cannot believe no one got that for me for my birthday or for Christmas.
It could be in transit. I don't know. We'll see. Or maybe someone really took to the next step. They made the prototype, but they had to send it into a factory overseas. So they're actually going to be making them in mass. So this could be a product we could see getting advertised heavily on an Instagram or Twitter. Like, we know how products out there, they like to push that. So instead of just making one, now you can turn a profit on the Ezekiel Tovar homered off Clayton Kershaw pillow.
I love that. I like the idea of that.
I think we need to just have that on a shirt. How about a shirt that looks like a pillow on DNVR Locker? I think that would do fairly well.
I wish Eric listened to us and our suggestions. We have so many ideas. I mean, so many of them are awful, but this is a good one. This is a really good one.
He listens to you more than me, and but he only listens to you when you want him to like act a fool and come on the show with Foxy. Like,
no, that was a real fox. I don't know. Oh. You're mistaken. I know the fox looked a lot like Eric, but it was not a paid actor. It was a real fox. We don't lie on this program.
We also had our second Rocks Inbox, which again, if you are a member to the DNVR.com, you get access to that where we it's basically like our mailbag show where we check our inbox for Rockies news questions. We discussed CJ Cron's trade value and a more long form. I don't know if you've thought more about it, Susie, but like the Rockies playing in another division and how it's probably likely to happen for a lot of teams. I don't know. I haven't done the math. Like when we expand to 32 teams, how many of the clubs right now will have to change division? I'm sure a lot of the, I don't know. I don't really know what to expect, how many teams will change, but the Rockies will probably, you know, get in with Kansas City, maybe the Texas teams, Arizona, Vegas.
I was going to say, if you're not on a coast, like I feel like the likelihood of you having to change divisions in whatever restructuring happens, like I feel like it's more than likely.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's true. But there are also going to be teams that are in that Midwest region that is just so clustered together that you go, all right, well, you've got to keep those teams together to a certain degree. So yeah, we went into those details. We even talked about travels, miles, how far each team travels. So that was fun breaking that down. And you would have thought the Rockies probably do a lot of traveling since they are at least a 3 hour or two. I don't know. How far is Phoenix? 2.5, 2 hours?
That's at like least two and a half hours. Yeah. I mean,
At minimum, that's the shortest flight that the Rockies have to travel. And so they got to go all the way out to the East Coast. That's a lot of miles. But I was a little surprised, I guess, by how they are not number one and how they're not even in the top five and barely in the top 10 some years with how much they have to travel. So that was kind of neat learning that. Were you surprised?
Yeah. A little surprised. Usually Seattle, any Seattle team is at the top of the list of miles traveled because Seattle is so far away from everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And then even in their division, okay, they're going to California and not too bad, but you got Texas and Houston, which that's really far for divisional foes to have to travel. In fact, that's probably, I wonder if that's the furthest of two teams that are in the same division where you'd have to travel. Yeah.
It might be because Texas is huge. Florida. And Houston's pretty down there in Texas. Seattle is so far away from everything. Like it, like I can't even wrap my head around Seattle. And Boston, I love geography.
Boston, Tampa Bay. I mean, that's kind of far. Or you got, you know, Mets in Miami. They're up there. Those are the three. Those are probably the three where you're going to deal with the most travel. We also have over on the DNVR.com good news about the health of some Rockies starting pitchers because, you know, their best five might not get you all that excited. Again, Freeland, Marquez, okay, they're great in the top two. Senzatella is a good number three. He's a little bit banged up. How much can you rely on him? Seems like he should be back in May, according to what Bill Schmidt and Bud Black had to say. Then you've got Feltner and Gomber and Jose Urania, maybe as like your four or five guys. Mm-hmm. Again, might not get you too excited, but there's depth there because there is positive news that came regarding Peter Lambert and Ryan Rolison, two guys that are expected to be back at spring training. Totally good. Rolison had the shoulder surgery. Lambert has just been having, you know, a lot of elbow soreness, pitching the Arizona Fall League, unfortunately with scratch from a start. But those guys, you know, should be factors. And for Rolison, I didn't write about this, but he could be an interesting candidate for the bullpen and could give you another left-hander because he doesn't have the innings built up. I forget where he's at. Maybe 100 innings pitched in the minor leagues over the last 3 years. Of course, 2020, there was no minor league season. So
yeah,
we might end up seeing Rolison in a relief role this next year. But the health reports are good for Senzatella, relatively speaking, Lambert and Rolison for 2023.
That's great news. This is great news because, yeah, you worry about these guys. And, you know, our minor leaguers, these pitchers that we've wanted for so long, seeing them down. Hate it.
Yeah.
I hope we see them. I hope we see them healthy this season.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a key point there for them going forth is that depth. Another one of the diehard only content, banter from the bench with Vinny Castilla. I talked to him about playing at altitude, and it's like, well, yeah, he played for the Rockies, but during the 90s, this wasn't a conversation. Like I was talking about this with someone the other day, and it's like, Susie, you know, mm-hmm. as soon as a new guy comes onto the Rockies, like Jose Urania came out of nowhere midseason, essentially, boom, he's on the roster. We're going to mm-hmm. talk to him. Denilson Lamet. One of the first questions that's asked is, what do you know about altitude? How are you sleeping? What's going on? Like it's ad nauseum. It's too much. It's a little bit too much. Don't you think?
But you know what? It's such an easy conversation starter when you don't know a guy, you're still trying to catch the vibe. And yeah, I mean, it's something that does affect everyone now that we like talk about, you know, how it affects your recovery more.
Yeah, we know a lot more about it. And
we do.
And now you can't be ignorant to it, right? Ignorance is bliss. And I actually said that to Vidi, and he laughed at that. He's like, actually, that's really true, because we weren't talking about it very much. It was kind of a non-factor in the 90s. And so, you know, he had the all-time consecutive games played in franchise mm-hmm. history, and 307. Also has had a 21 game road hitting streak. That's mm-hmm. also the longest in franchise history. So if you think about like two records that are really kind of low key impressive, hitting on the road 21 straight games, he's got that record, and then just posting every day in the lineup, playing at altitude, then back down to sea level, so on and so forth. He's got both of those records. I thought that was interesting. I loved hearing his comments on that.
When did the altitude effects kind of become part of this big conversation? At what point were the, you know, Colorado media like, oh, wait, we need to ask all these guys about this? How did this even become a thing?
It's evolved over time, because right now, I think all baseball fans are very aware about playing, or rather hitting a ball and what a ball does in its movement at altitude. And so I think that's happened, you know, pretty much in the late 90s. And obviously when they put the humidor in at Coors Field in 2000, like that, okay, that definitely put it on blast. And I think even before the Rockies, you know, it was known the ball carries in Denver, like when mm-hmm. Denver Bears, Denver Zephyrs, even down in Colorado Springs Sky Sox, like there was an awareness of it. But it was almost like maybe it was anecdotal, maybe it was almost like a wives' tale, where like, if you believe it, it's true. But now we know that to be a fact. And, you know, Austin Gomber, first day having a press conference with Rockies media on Zoom, he's like, look, I'll throw my curveball on the moon. Like, he knows that he's going to be up against it when he's playing at Coors Field and altitude. But I think it's probably more recently that the effects of altitude has really come to light. I know for when I first moved to Colorado in 2013, and I was doing a lot of running and long distance running, kind of really just starting to read about the effects of that. And now it's very well known, and the Rockies do a good job of preparing their players for it. So it's still relatively new, the effects on the body, like on the actual player, not on the play on the field and the ball traveling, but mm-hmm. on the player. And Charlie Blackman has like done a lot for kind of talking about that openly and honestly, and why he works out as hard as he does. And, you know, an hour after the final out, he's mm-hmm. not in the clubhouse because he's still working out so he can be ready for the next day and the next week, et cetera, et cetera. So and we're still learning more, you know, to this day. Like there's still so much more that we're probably that we don't know, that we're still ignorant to at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, think of all the bliss we have right now. We don't even realize it.
Very true. We also, I want to point out too, is, oh, so, and I also asked him, and this is like the kid. This was the like 12-year-old kid coming out of me. I said, Vinny, Blake Street Bombers, very legendary. If you could add or could have added one player to the Blake Street Bombers during that time, who would you have added? So almost like a fantasy booking of like going back in time, who would the Rockies have brought in to like make the Bombers even bigger? And his answer was like, it was perfect. So I can't give that away. That's a diehard only content. Susie, who would you add, either from the 90s or even now, if you're just doing a fantasy booking and you got your little starting lineup figures and you're doing your lineup? All right, you got your Els Burks, you got your Walker, Dante Bichette, Vinny Castilla. Like, who are you adding to that mix? That would be fun to just be in that big group of boppers.
Okay, am I wrong in that I think Bryce Harper would have been a really fun Blake Street bomber?
I'm with that. The Bryce Street bomber. Okay.
Right. I feel like there's a lot you could have done with that if he was only just 20 years older.
Yeah. Yeah, that would work. That would work. Fred McGriff would have been interesting at that time. He'd have been more of a low key guy. Like, I knew Hall of Famer, Fred McGriff, but he didn't hit over like 45 too many times. I don't even know if he hit 40 a ton, but every year he was hitting 30. So he would have been really nice in that group. That was neat. Also do want to point out too, besides the written content that we have, most of it is free over on the dnvr.com. We had a couple really good podcasts, live shows over on the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube. The birthday celebration one, which was fantastic. A little timeless. Go back. Listen
timeless.
To that one.
It's never a bad time to celebrate me and the fact that I'm alive.
This is true. And you celebrated, or maybe the opposite. What's the opposite of the word celebration? What is the antonym?
More
persecution? I don't know. No. But the wave. Like, talking with last Friday with Vic Vela from Colorado Public Radio about the article that he wrote over the summer, talking with Kyle Freeland. I think that's another one that is very much timeless. Not getting into the minutia of transactions, just talking about the wave in Colorado. You know, what's going on with that?
It was a good interview. I mean, can you believe a guy who does radio for a living is good at talking as well?
Yeah. In going back and listening to that, I have a confession to make. When I was a kid, I was a wave starter. When I was a young, like teenager.
Wait, what was your strategy for starting the wave? This is new information. This is a new confession. Patrick, I'm a little shocked right now, but we need to know your strategy.
Well, a couple things. One, I never did this in a full stadium. I never did this when again, there's a vibe in the ballpark. Everyone there is clearly there to watch baseball. That is the point. So anyone who does that at one of those kind of games, I can see how that's really bad. Then again, Rockies, you know, they sell out on 4th of July. Is everybody there for the game? Are they there for the hangout? So it's a little bit different. But most of the games that I went to that were packed, people were there to watch the game. And so I didn't do it there. I would do it typically at Veterans Stadium when there was nobody there. Like the attendance was like 10,000 people. And I would just, as a kid, I'm like, let's get the wave going. I was not filled with a bunch of beers, as was part of the speculation with Vic. Again, I was underage. So it was just pure, I don't know, hormones just kind of raging through me of like, let's get this wave going. I don't know that I ever got one that was successful enough to go around the entire bowl. Because again, there weren't a ton of people there.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be that guy when I was younger. That was a moment for me.
Okay, I'm going to propose an idea for this coming season. It's going to be an unpopular idea. It's going to be embarrassing for both of us. But I think we need to pick a game, each of us, and we need to go into a section and try to start the wave and see if we can make it happen. And whoever makes it happen the fastest or whoever makes the best wave wins. I don't know what you win, but I think we need to test to see who of the two of us would actually be able to start a wave.
That is an interesting idea. Unless I get some kind of stipend for something like that, I might have to be out on that. I might just have to call you the wave queen. Like, I don't.
No, I think you need to try it. I think you need to try it. I think.
Or I'll throw it. What if I throw the competition? Like, okay, all right.
If that's how you want to live your life, Patrick, then you live your life throwing things instead of actually trying.
It might be. Yeah, you're right. I might be an old man going, you know what? I do have one regret in life. I could have just tried harder at the Great Wave competition of 2023. That's it. I would have to buy you a beer then if you won. Look at that. You'd finally have someone buying you a beer.
It's always me buying other people beers and never people buying me beers. Thank you.
That's it. And of course, there's only one place to be buying beers, and that's at the corner of Colfax and York at the DNVR bar, where, of course, if you are a diehard, besides getting all that diehard only content from Banter from the Bench, Rock's Inbox, but you also get 15% off your tab at the DNVR bar. Get that Bones Highland Burger, delicious sushi grade salmon. That's the one to go with it. The nachos,
so good.
Nachos are still like bar none, but the Bones Highland Burger is kind of the new fave around the bar. You get 20% off dnvrlocker.com. You also, with your annual membership, you get a new you get a free shirt every year, not just when you sign up, one every single year that you are a diehard and you're signed up to the dnvr.com. And you also get 20% off all the tailgates and party buses that we have going on at the DNVR and dnvrlocker.com. You can also get yourself a nice little 10% off at FOCO.com when you use code DNVR. Man, they're the leading manufacturer in sports and entertainment merchandise. They've got a product line that's got not only just apparel, but accessories, toys, collectibles, novelty items, and more. They got the Jokic back-to-back MVPs. Get it now before it's back-to-back-to-back. Could it be three? Yeah, we'll have to see. Stanley Cup championship merchandise. Rocky City Connect as well. Look, they've got our back, and FOCO's got your back for all the Colorado sports. They also have stuff in other markets as well. Like, they're doing this nationally too. So if you need to get some gifts for some people, and it's, you know, if it's a Cardinals thing, if it's a Nolan Arenado bobblehead for a Cardinals fan, or even Cubs, Mets, whatever it is, you can still use promo code DNVR for 10% off all non-presale items.
You cannot forget that they have that big sweatshirt blanket.
Oh,
that
yes.
I love so much. They've got a Rockies one, a Broncos one. They've got them for other teams and other markets too. But it is the softest, most ridiculous thing I've ever worn. And it's so warm. It's so cozy.
I'm overheating just thinking about it, because they do look very warm and very cozy.
I know. Yes. I haven't worn it on the show yet, but like, I will at some point, because it's perfect. It's the perfect piece of Rocky's gear.
You have to be on set, just because like the camera needs to be very far away to get all of that material.
Exactly. It's so much material. It's so much.
Yeah. Well, and when you're doing that down at the DNVR bar, wearing your ponchos, wearing your FOCO gear, or if you're doing it at home, you can have the Christmas ale. It's still the drink of the season from Breck Brew. The chill of winter really calls for a beer like this, with extra flavor, extra strength, and abundance of carefully roasted malts that creates all kinds of delicious notes of caramel, chocolate. It's delicious. They got the nice list sweepstakes going on as well. Huge holiday giveaways. You got to make sure you check out. The link is in our description, where you can find out how to get yourself on that nice list and win some nice gear and brew from Breck Brew. And again, this is a company doing it with 100% renewable energy. So check them out, or check out where you can locate Breck Brew at the Breck Brew locator at www.breckbrew.com. All right, Susie.
You know I got Breck Brew in town where I am, in Charlotte.
There you go.
Got it.
You mean Miami.
Oh yeah, I guess it's Thursday. I guess I'm in Miami now. I cannot wait to not have any more shows in this like awful looking room.
Carlos Correa, the whole saga with the Mets is just crazy. But I just want to look at this from the Mets' perspective. We talked about this last Wednesday with Kenneth Weber, where the Mets are going to be paying $100 million in luxury tax. Like, just that. So the Correa 12-year, $315 million deal they signed, or did they? Again,
no one
by
knows.
The minute. We can't even provide updates by the minute or by the day. This is just a saga. They signed Danny Mendick to a one-year, $1 million deal. Utility infielder. He's 29 in his fifth big league season. If you sign a one-year, $1 million deal, you need to have all your meals covered by Verlander, Scherzer, like all of those guys. Even Pete Alonso, who hasn't gotten a free agency yet, but he's getting very well compensated in arbitration. He also wears number 20. Mm-hmm. Like Danny Mendick. So I'm thinking Mendick should get the number 20 from Pete Alonso. And of course, that is not going to happen.
No.
He needs to be compensated with a couple meals. And all it takes is this utility infielder to make a couple dazzling plays. Who's going to buy him the Rolex watch first? Is it going to be Verlander or Scherzer? Or do you think it's not going to happen? Is he going to get a Rolly this year, Danny Mendick?
Oh my gosh, he should. I would hope so.
Yeah. No, he definitely better. Mets made the James McCann trade. We were talking on Monday about how, like, we've got 3 weeks straight where we kind of suggest something, throw something out there, and then it ends up happening. The James McCann trade, we talked about it last Wednesday on the show. I was like, ah, they got to get rid of some money. Not that they're really that concerned. They pay the Orioles $19 million to get James McCann off his off their roster. So the Orioles are only going to be paying him $5 million over the next 2 years. And he'll be backing up Adley Rutschman, who likes exercising with his shirt off on the ice in the snow. I don't know if you saw that clip, but he was working on his core.
I did not see that.
He's an Oregon guy. Like, he's weird like that. He's weird.
Man, they do some real weird stuff out there.
So with all this money, my question to you, Susie, is with all this money that the Mets are spending, do you think MLB really needs a stricter salary cap? And is Stephen A. Cohen, is he bad for MLB? Is he bad for baseball?
Ooh, this is a really good question. I mean, in theory, I mean, think of the charity work he is doing by giving the Orioles a guy for such little money.
This is
He's
true.
He's paying other salaries too. But, like, I would hate if, like, the Rockies were doing that. Oh, wait, they have done something like that. I would hate it. Is he bad for MLB though? I mean, wow. Patrick.
Maybe. So that's the thing. I think we're only at maybe, and I don't know. There's some people saying, you know, that he is. But I don't think we've reached that point yet, because we know in baseball, like, again, the highest salaries don't guarantee you anything. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it is
true. Very true. That is actually, you know what? I think that's the point against him being bad for baseball, because he's going to spend so much money and some of it will work out. Some of it will just, like, absolutely fall apart, like everything does for any Mets situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's going to be bad for certain situations. Like, you could take the Rockies. There are probably people, like, smashing their dashboard, or they're at the gym or listening to this, whatever. They are infuriated and saying, well, Patrick, you know, it's partially because of the Mets and still being in on the Brandon Nimmo market and signing him for 8 years, $162 million, that the Rockies were so almost immediately out on a guy that they have been interested in since last summer. And you say, well, that impacted the Rockies. The Rockies weren't able to sign Brandon Nimmo, and so that's bad for the Rockies. Yes, in that one singular instance, but all of the other moves that the Mets made have virtually nothing to do with the Rockies. So in that one instance, yes, but everything else, again, really has no general impact. And, you know, the Rockies don't need that one guy to make a difference. They can pivot, and they could have gotten other players.
You know, I will say, I don't think what the Mets have done has anything to do with whether or not the Rockies, if the Rockies were going to get Brandon Nimmo or not. If he wanted to be a Rocky, like, he would have found a way to make that happen. I don't think he wants to be a Rocky in the first place.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, he wants to go where he's going to be paid the most money. Like that makes a lot of sense. And so there's going to be a trickle-down effect of that. Of, all right, well, this guy now goes to the Mets and then everybody else. So, you know, something that I wrote about this week on the DNVR.com was a little bit about, you know, what the Rockies can do with their outfield situation if they still can possibly add a left-handed bat. And part of the fallout with Carlos Correa and the San Francisco Giants kind of parting ways is the fact that now the Giants immediately had a lot of extra money. They had some PR issues to deal with. Okay, hey, let's immediately turn around and go get Michael Conforto and Taylor Rogers. And you go, maybe the Rockies could have been in on Michael Conforto, but he signs a 2-year, $32 million deal, and maybe that becomes too pricey. So there is a trickle-down effect. I get that. But in general, spending that kind of money doesn't guarantee you a World Series. I found it really interesting that one of the Yankees co-owners, Hal Steinbrenner, son of George Steinbrenner, said, quote, talking about the behaviors or the spending spree that Stephen A. Cohen has shown this offseason in particular, he said, quote, I think it's something to be looked at. However, another thing I said in March, which I truly believe, is that every fan of every team, nobody should have to go into spring training thinking their team has no chance of making the playoffs. That's just not good for the game. First off, that's something to be looked at. Have you met your dad? Like, do you know anything about your father? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, we don't even need to discuss that anymore. But the other piece about, like, every team should feel good going to spring training. Yeah, that would be nice. And there was a time in which that did exist, you know, when before free agency, when it really was just, hey, these are your guys. You had to, you know, acquire players almost really just by trade and trade alone. Mm-hmm. And you could believe that your team had a chance in the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And then come free agency, I think that started changing. But even still, there are no guarantees. There are always teams that you go, wow, you know what? I had them as maybe being the eighth or ninth best club in the AL. And then they go ahead and sneak into the playoffs. So there's no guarantee that your team is going to be out of the postseason, or that you're not going to win a World Series. Money is not the be-all, end-all to guarantee World Series.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Do you think, what percentage of hope do the Rockies have going into this season? And is it zero, or is it like a little more than zero?
It is less than 100, greater than zero. I mean, they still haven't made too many moves yet. We talked about this on Tuesday, all the different transactions, or rather the free agent signings in the NL West, and how the division, I think, probably has gotten a little bit worse for the wear with so many of those players in the NL West, you know, going to other teams, usually in the AL or NL East, which is kind of funny how that ended up working out. But I think money will get you into the postseason, but it doesn't guarantee you the World Series. That's just a whole new year. You had Atlanta and New York getting bounced from the postseason so quickly. Those both of those teams won 101 games. So it just doesn't guarantee anything. So
money doesn't buy happiness. It doesn't buy championships.
And it also doesn't take into account for teams that tank and that are just like, yeah, we're not necessarily competing right now. Mm-hmm. Now the Rockies, you know, they haven't come out and said, no, we're competing this year. They haven't said that.
But they'll also, they're never tanking. That's the other thing.
But they, yes, but they have said, like, you know what? We don't want to block some of our young guys coming up. Again, that's in more in reference to the free agents and long-term deals. But still, they are really waiting. They're playing more of a waiting game than they have in years past. So they're definitely not tanking. They're definitely not out of it. I think if they are somehow in contention, you know, come summer, they could make some, you know, thrifty moves to improve the roster. But look, there are some teams where you don't have that same hope that your team is going to go somewhere. But look, teams, the San Francisco Giants won 107 games in 2021. Looking at that roster, who thought that that was actually a possibility? So
yeah,
more times than not, the more money you spend will lead to more success during the regular season. And, you know, postseason, again, is a whole other beast in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But I don't think Stephen A. Cohen is like ruining the sport in any way. And
no.
You shouldn't be getting, you know, stomach cramps thinking about, oh, it's so bad for baseball. And you shouldn't be getting those kind of stomach cramps if you're having Athletic Greens every day. That one scoop, Susie, it's just one scoop. How hard is it? 75 high-quality vitamins, whole foods or superfoods, probiotics, minerals, adaptogens. You've got the travel packs with you right now.
You know I have the travel packs. They're over there in the kitchen.
Yeah, they want to hook you up.
Travel packs.
Yeah, they want to hook you up, Athletic Greens, with a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and those five free travel packs, which if you don't travel a ton or you don't have the opportunity to travel, bring them with you at work so that if you forget in the morning that scoop with the 75 high-quality vitamins and more, you can still have it at work. Make it a great part of your daily habits. It's a micro-habit that allows you to take really good care of yourself. They also want to give you this. If you head over to athleticgreens.com/Rockies, again, athleticgreens.com/Rockies, so you can take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Fans, look, the tradition and the glory, there's nothing more thrilling right now than college football. It's bowl season, so the action is far from over. My go-to for betting, you know, is DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. And right now, new customers, you can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on a college football team to win, even if it's a big favorite. Doesn't matter. When that team wins for you, you get $150 in free bets. If they do, they got the same game parlays going on for all the sports. So if you want to stack 2, 3, 4, 5 different events from the same game on top of the other, you're going to have yourself even bigger payout. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DNVR. and new customers can place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any college football team to win, and you're going to get $150 in free bets if your team does. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and restrictions, eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Thank you.
As we said, $100 million on tax on their current payroll for 2023. Susie, that is more than 13 clubs right now are just paying for their roster. So just the tax they are paying is more than almost half the league. That's wild.
That's kind of crazy. That is insane. How many Oakland A's rosters is $100 million? Is it two. Like 100?
at least two rosters, maybe three. I don't know where they're at exactly, but yeah, two or three. Again, Oakland A's fans not feeling they have a chance to win has 0% chance to do with anything that the Mets are doing. Like, let's be real about that. The league average for salaries is 113 right now. And the Mets are just paying $100 in tax. So if you took the Mets out of that and say, what's the average of the other 23 teams? I mean, it would probably drop closer to $100 million. So that's just crazy. It's crazy money. It doesn't guarantee anything. And you know what? I think it's good for baseball to have that evil empire team, right? That team that you are rooting against.
It's kind of hilarious to think of the Mets as an evil empire because, like, something hilariously ridiculous always happens where it all falls apart. So, like, until, like, they have a situation where that does not happen to them, like, I have to, like, just laugh at the idea of Mets and evil empire in the same sentence.
Yeah. Yeah, they still play in the same city as the Yankees, who are spending a ton of money as well. But the Mets are the poster boy for that. Speaking of poster boys and posters you have up in your bedroom when you're a kid and you're like, oh, so dreamy.
Oh.
you have Stephen A. Cohen, the heartthrob that is the owner of the New York Mets. So, Susie, let's get into this. I am really looking forward to seeing your reaction. So Stephen A. Cohen has an art collection valued at over $1 billion. Are you an art fan? Do you go to museums? Are you big into art now or were you ever?
You know, I love a museum. I can't say that I'm exactly well-versed in, you know, a lot of, you know, artists and all that, but, you know, I'm an appreciator for sure.
Nice. Yeah. I think it's something that the more you go to a museum and you kind of take in those kind of things, the more you become, the more you can appreciate it and the more you want to get into this world because you're looking at something and saying this is strange. Although that could backfire because there's an artist that I really like that my wife mocks me for because he just does like square paintings and it's just like two colors, Ellsworth Kelly. And so if you do a search on Ellsworth Kelly, you're like, this isn't art. This is just so basic. It's nothingness, but I dig it. Stephen A. Cohen, let's see what he digs as an artist. All right. So he owns pieces by Picasso, Jasper Johns, Jeff Koons, Keith Haring, like all the great modern artists of the last century. So this sculpture that you're going to see here, Alberto Giacometti's L'Homme à Doigt, which is just the man with the finger, is the most expensive piece of art ever. Susie, how much do you think Stephen A. Cohen paid for this?
Oh my gosh. Oh, so we're looking at Stephen A. Cohen's art collection right now.
Yes. This is just a little sculpture that almost
How big is this? Like, what is the size of this sculpture?
Great question. I'm not sure. I think it's probably, I would put it at about maybe like a foot.
Because in my head, looking at that thing, I'm picturing something that is like 7 feet tall. So we have very different interpretations of this thing.
No. So you're right. I mean, again, sculptures can be, you know, that large or not. No, I think it's very much on a smaller scale. No, you're right. Maybe it is. Maybe it is a little bit larger than that.
I don't know. I'm just like, I was just going by like what I saw and what I thought. But how much, you're asking how much I think he spent on that?
Especially for something that is just like that. I mean, again, you could see it over on the DVR Sports.
It's a skinny man with an ET finger going on.
Yeah. 70 inches. So that is about
About 6 feet.
It's human size.
All right. Sure. So yeah, I pictured it right. He's a tall, skinny dude.
Nailed it. You had it.
I want to say You know, I really don't know how much like rich people pay for art, but I feel like they just pay like way too much. I'm going to say he spent $900 million on it.
Why not? $141 million. A bargain, Susie. A bargain.
Yeah, I guess so. I thought he spent a lot more. It looked expensive.
I would
be so bad at The Price is Right.
Look, art is really, it's like all subjective. And like historic baseball cards, like they go for just ridiculous prices. And I have a cousin who has like I was just thinking about this the other day. He probably has a memorabilia collection at least worth $250,000 because he's been collecting his whole life. Mm-hmm. Like he posted something where he has like an Ichiro Suzuki rookie card, but not from like 2000. I think this was from like the early 90s when he played baseball in like Hawaii in some summer league when he was like a teenager. I'm like, I didn't even know this existed. He's got it graded as a Gem Mint 10 PSA. He's got everything.
That's pretty cool.
If you invest in stuff like that, again, it's all relative, but he posts things and I'll see it occasionally because during the pandemic, people went crazy for baseball cards and mm-hmm. they would like buy something for like $800,000. And then, just last week they sold it for $200,000. And it's like, wow, that is a big hit. That is a big loss in investment. So he's got Stephen A. Cohen has an Andy Warhol of his famous Mao Zedong, the leader of China, if you will. He paid $47 million for that. Again, it's just Mao Zedong, but you know,
Andy Warhol
doing his thing, doing a Warhol. Gotta respect that. Now, this is my favorite piece in his collection, probably the most controversial. I've actually seen this myself in the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It was there for about 4 years.
Oh my God, this you know thing. This. Isn't this a real shark?
Yes. So it's this Damien Hirst. He's a British artist. So the actual name, which I didn't know, is The Physical Impossibility of Death in the Mind of Someone Living. He paid $8 million for it. It was created in 1991. So it's a preserved tiger shark submerged in formaldehyde in a glass panel display case. I learned a lot more about this piece of artwork and how it was deteriorating and how they had to swap it out for a different shark. Because it was like the formaldehyde that was used had like bleach in it. Again, I learned far too much, but it is a tiger shark just encased in formaldehyde. And it's everything that's great and awful about art at the same time.
I was going to say, can we call this art? Can we call this art?
Look, I understand the conversation. That's part of the conversation. Fair. Fair, right? But that's
it's gross that they had to replace the shark. I feel like that's not how art works. You don't. You don't replace the thing that is the art.
The frame's the same? The frame's the same. So thank God, right? He also, and now this one, little disturbing. Pull the kids away from the screen. So this is Mark Quinn's, it's called Self. He's done a couple of these portraits. This is the first one. Ugh. So it is a self-portrait of the artist, but one that literally uses his body as a material since the cast of Quinn's head immersed in frozen silicone is created from 10 pints of his own blood.
Ew.
10 pints?
Okay.
A pint glass. Think about how big a pint glass is.
This is a biohazard, first of all. Like, you should not be making things out of your blood or your body parts or anything. This is not cool. I'm not cool with this.
I recoiled when I saw that. Like, again, if you just see it, it's like, oh, that's weird. But again, you hear the backstory, 7 pints, that's almost like 100 ounces of your own blood. Like, that's insane. And he's done this multiple times, this artist, Mark Quinn. So, but
he's not just, okay, you know what? Just because it's different doesn't mean it's good or it's cool. Like, it's actually, I think that is gross and weird. No, thank you.
So you are not in favor of like using fecal matter or like elephant dung for art and
Patrick,
that stuff.
No.
Look, this is a real thing. Like, these are statements that artists make.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should.
That's true. Yes. No, it's not terribly innovative, right? Again, like you go, oh, tiger shark in formaldehyde. But Damien Hirst and other artists like him would say, yeah, but you didn't do it. You didn't create it. So
yeah, because it's weird. Like, sure. I'm not like, oh, it's not art because you didn't work hard on it. Like, I'm saying it's not art because it's gross.
That is very gross.
It's gross.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to talk art all day, but let's kind of wrap things up by looking at Stephen A. Cohen's estate, where all of this stuff is on display.
Ooh,
it is
so vast,
enormous. This is his compound. This is the Cohen compound, and you know where it's located? Greenwich Village, or not Greenwich Village? Wait,
Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yeah, Greenwich, Connecticut.
Greenwich, Connecticut. This looks like Greenwich, Connecticut for sure. I love Greenwich.
He has like a one hole golf course there in his backyard. I mean, it looks like a compound. It looks like it could be a museum. It looks like a small like Central Park.
It looks like, yeah, I was going to say, it looks like a resort. Like, it looks like people would stay or pay to stay there. Honestly, I would pay to stay there. That looks incredible.
Oh, it's massive. Yeah. It's massive. And you know what? The Mets might even be making themselves even more money. And we'll get some more information about this in about the next week or so, because Stephen A. Cohen, he wants to add a casino to Citi Field. Seriously, folks. The city.
He would want to casino. Add a casino. Pete Rose is like rolling over in his. I was gonna say he's rolling over in his grave. He's still alive.
Couch.
But,
yeah, in his couch. You know. No, but seriously. So he's gonna have a quote unquote visioning session on January 7th at the ballpark to pitch a plan and receive feedback from Queens residents about a Citi Field casino. And so they're calling it like a listening session. I call it a placation party because it's like, oh yeah, we'll listen to you, but we're going to do whatever the hell we want. But since buying the team, Cohen has put a lot of money.
Placation party. Got it.
Cohen has put a lot of money into lobbying the city and state officials in an effort to land what's expected to be 3 casino licenses for New York City. And he wants to get one of them. And he wants to add it as part of this grand scheme of work to make Citi Field like this mecca. It's hard to get to. The transportation isn't great. The Mets hired like a transportation czar, for crying out loud, to make things better. And in a press release announcing this, he has a development plan that's going to bring to life 50 acres of asphalt that's unused for a majority of the time. So like, he's trying to do some big things, which is going to bring in even more money, which is going to allow him to spend even more in payroll tax and luxury tax. And that's where it really could become a problem. And I think that's where a lot of people in the know and in front offices and that own teams are probably worried about the Mets. So for right now, the Mets are behaving and the Mets are not as bad as they may be if all the things go the way that Mr. Art Guru Stephen A. Cohen wants them to go. It could get really bad. But right now,
Now I understand why Hal Steinbrenner was like, okay, we gotta keep an eye on what's going on over here.
He's making some serious chess moves. And if you want to see the chess moves we're making, you can do it on Twitter at DNVR_Rockies. Or if you enjoy great segues, follow me at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter.
If you enjoy terrible segues and terrible content, you can find me at the Susie Hunter on all platforms.
Is terrible the new word now? Like the kids are saying, like, oh dude, that's terrible.
Because
you have good content. You have good content. So if you're calling it terrible,
thank you. Thank you. I was like, I actually do not know what the Gen Zers say at all. I don't understand them. I'm working on it. I'm on Duolingo learning Gen Z language.
There you go. Dog. If you know what kind of terrible momentum we got today, dog? I sound like one of the young people. No, we've got great momentum. But Susie, you know what they say about momentum?
What do they say?
Look, it's only as good as your next show. So you can see Susie on the DNVR Sports channel on YouTube at 5 p.m. tomorrow, which is Friday.